Yippee!
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 Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
Okay. Here's the question. The Korean ladies, three of them, are washing dishes at the place. The water tap, where it clearly states in the rules, not used for washing dishes. You know, it's in. You'd have to read the actual provincial park manual. But they've been there for a good time. And there's a part of me thinks, hey, march right over there and tell them, hey, you're not supposed to be doing that here. Nobody else is allowed to. Just because you're Korean speaking doesn't mean you have your own rules. But then, is it my business to go over there and, you know, like, if they were chopping down trees, yes, there's no gray area. This is kind of a gray area, as in gray water. It annoys me that they're not even considering, you know, this issue. But maybe, well, oblivious to it. So is it my duty as a good Canadian citizen to march over there and explain with my copy, you know, with the rules, and show it to them? Or should I just turn a blind eye? Like, is it really, really such a big deal, one way or the other? I mean, am I just aggravated because they're of another race doing it? What if it was an average white Canadian family? I'm asking this in honesty just because I think I've been accused of prejudice in the past. Yeah, I'd consider them ignorant. It's like anybody who litters. No, hey, doesn't matter where you're from. They have a language barrier they could use as an excuse, you know. Didn't know all these rules. I'm sure they explained to them there's an alcohol ban, but I wouldn't go over there and inspect that, given that that is a rule I chose to break. But you see, mine has no impact on the environment. And this, theoretically, could. Anyway, what the fuck, you know? I'm just going to let it go, but, you know, it'd be good to put a poll up and say, hey, you tell me, what would you have done? There are diplomatic ways. See, there was a man from that site who greeted me, a younger man, when I first pulled in. And I think if I was to see him again, I would use him as an intermediary to explain. And that way you'd avoid the direct confrontation, the potential embarrassment or anger. And something that might spoil their weekend very much, you know. Somehow make them feel very uncomfortable. Which you don't really want people to feel when they come to a provincial park. You want them to feel good. Anyway, if I was to see that man, I might quietly explain to him, you know, there is a rule about washing, and, you know, you could do it the joking, friendly kind of way, in that, you know, if the Rangers see that, you could fine you, sort of a, I'm not telling, but, you know, hey, you're taking a chance. Anyway, he's not around, and I'm not going to do anything about that. I think I'm just going to go and get myself some cereal now that I've got the milk, and it's sunny, and they finished washing. So glad I did that little side trip to see the church, St. George's Anglican Church, and the gravesites for Stephen Leacock and Maison de la Roche, and that lovely, lovely little viewing spot. See, that's the difference, right? In some cultures, it's okay to turn around and yell back at somebody, you know, rather than go back and talk to them, but just to yell, just raise your voice louder and they'll hear. You know, it makes up for the distance. It's basic laws of physics, I suppose, you know. Nothing to do with culture. I want to be heard and I don't want to go back. The little children, will this have an impact on their life when they grow up? Will they think back when they first start dating or early marriage? Will they want to go camping with their partner? remembering what it was like when they were kids. I didn't have camping when I was a kid, but certainly had other things that I think made up for it. Started with that spooky old house in Valleyfield. That probably set me off on the weird trail I'm on now. Just that house. It was scary, but it was fun. It was interesting. Unique, blah, blah, blah. You can describe it or not. No, it was huge. I don't know how to describe it. Big rooms. We had a dining room and then a double living room, you know, separated by archways. It was a mansion. Built for somebody important at some point, and somehow we ended up with it when it was already about 100 years old. Unfinished basement and a strange historic attic with a trap door leading up to it. Well, trap door leading into it, yes, and a spiral staircase that just ended in the door, and you had to feel around and push up, and the counterweights would open that door, and you'd stick your head up and think, holy fuck, I don't want to go up here alone. But neater than that were the cupboards for the linens above our bunk bed. So if you're on the top bunk, which was mine, I had a ladder, you could climb up there and you could climb into these four closets, each with their doors. And, you know, my brother made it an airplane, drew the dials and everything on the front panel, the inside. And it was a neat place to sit up there in the, you know, it'd be like in Japan, you'd have a place to store your futons, you know, sliding closet. This would be something like that, but high up on the ceiling. So you're looking down, you're higher than your bunk bed. Oh my God. And you just sit there, and it was very neat. And I used to always imagine in that house, oh, what it was like if they flipped it on its roof and you had to step over the, you know, the ceiling. Now, in a modern house, everything is flat. There's nothing to step over. But in these days, there's sort of arched doorways and, you know, some extra work. Imagining upside down was quite neat. Oh, stepping into that next room. It seems so much neater. You're actually entering a room. Yeah, Valleyfield, full of memories. So I guess the thing is, I feel sad about having my memories die with me. Like, I'll die, yeah, okay, that's just a matter of time. But your whole life gets extinguished. All the details, all the memories, all the things that made you, you, they're gone. And yet somehow you think they are important and they need to be kept. They need to be relived. Beautiful sitting here. The wind is picking up and just the sound and the trees. It's gorgeous. Gorgeous. God damn, where are my adjectives? What a question to ask when you're on the threshold of teaching again. Oh my God. Let me get through this one intact and without any huge mistakes. Save my pride. But this podcast, in a way, is an anthology. It is a record. You could divide it up into years. Well, I think I need a drink. Maybe apple juice. Hello. Right up here. She didn't speak any English. Maybe they're just visiting. In which case, I forgive them even more. Disobeying the water tap rules. Well, they weren't really disobeying them. They were just breaking them unawares. Pulling out the parts that count, that's the hard part. Sometimes words aren't really so useless is a bit harsh, but they're an abstraction. They're clumsy. We just can't grok each other, which you'd think would be the way of the future. This is where we've got to actually really experience. What does it feel like to be that person? What is it like to perceive things through their brain, through their conditioning, through their knowledge, through that filter? Can we ever make that leap? Oh my God, that seems a huge leap here. To actually get into somebody's head to feel that. How would you do it? You'd have to do it without wires? Like, is this a... My God, is that even possible? Some of you, perhaps the Illuminati Social Club fans, would be saying, of course it's impossible. But I'm not saying that. There has to come the day when there are higher levels of communication. I mean, much more complex and in-depth and, you know, multidimensional in a way that words cannot be. I mean, words have done a fine job up to now, but there must be something else in the future. Now, here's the thing. Do you write it? Do you speak it? Or do you just send it? Anyway, I'm very grateful for what I have, for all I have. I'd like to stop now. Ooh. 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 There's an escape clause. Right as the computer can't possibly fully understand. The computer's only been given words, needs more. It has a better understanding, but it doesn't have any way of conveying that to you. That's a good one. So the computer is the one doing the talking. course. And the computer's name. Thank you, those of you who guessed. Sal, you won. Yeah, sometimes I fret about, doing these podcasts, recording these clips, and sharing this with you. But I'm also just plain compelled. And then there is another part that thinks, yeah, but it's not a bad thing you're doing. You just want that reassurance sometimes. All right, I'm going to shut this down. I'm going to think about Sal. And now Sal is going to tell the story. Here we are again. Some new neighbors, some new kids. I've just gone inside to get Bob's mug, which is code, because there's an alcohol ban here. Ooh, it's nice, number 9. I got some chips, some pistachio, sweet potato, kettle cooked corn, and some of the little osembe Nalco gets. The spicy ones. What do you call these? Takinoki, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, it's peanuts. Really good quality peanuts, like your AAA peanuts. And these spicy little Simbe snacks. And, you know, they maintain just the right proportion of peanuts to spice. Had them on the shows before, you know, I brought them to the only cafe. But anyway, we're going to, I'm going to get settled in. I wanted to tell you another thing that I love about this road trip. I was sitting, it was about 2:30 maybe, and sun was coming through behind some trees, and I just had my chair positioned right, and I was just sitting there and closing my eyes, and I just dozed off for a fraction of a minute, maybe a fifth of a minute if we want to measure it. But it was kind of nice, and then I thought, I could just go inside and lie down. And I did that. But not before putting on my all-time favorite record. And I realized when I put it on, it's my favorite LP, my favorite album, bar none. Like, more than anything by the Beatles, more than anything by Pink Floyd or Ween. This album, Love Forever Changes. And it's always been, it's the only one I have in vinyl, cassette tape, and CD. And the stereo sounds so good. You lie down in the back, because you leave your bed out, right? And you just lie down, your head on some pillows, and you're in between two stereo speakers in the rear, and there's one that's in the front. And it's sounding amazing, because it is an amazing album. Anyway, it's like a one of a kind. Nothing else they did. They died after that. It was Alvin Lee. They didn't die as a group, but they just never mastered anything like that again. And it's brilliant. And then after that, I figured, it feels so good just lying here. I don't need to be getting up. Maybe some Beatles. And I put on the first album from the Double White album because it's never been one of my favorite albums, and, it's not one I would go to. It was always, to me, it represented the beginning of the end of the Beatles. Like, their songs are clearly, oh, that's a George song, that's a Paul song, that's a John song. Doing their own thing, John would do this screaming out, why don't we do it in the road, and Paul comes up with a little soft love ditty. And you could see the different personalities and everything else. But so it's always been like just a whole lot of stuff they threw in, but not a concept album the way I think both
Well, let it be tried, but definitely Sergeant Pepper and... I like to think Abbey Road, too. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'm just saying it doesn't flow for me, but it was interesting listening. Anyway, all of which is to say, oh my God, dude. You should be more tersely verbose. That's a name. I'm just throwing that out there because it's a name that Heavy D mentioned. Something weird statement that I couldn't fathom, but, you know, I know not to let tersely verbose leave anything in my car. So I thought, no, I'm not going to dig for the cross references there and there. I'll never find it. But I like the name so much, I followed tersely verbose. Anyway, all of which is to say it was very nice just lying down, and now I'm out. I had a half a cookie while I was in there. You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, hey, dude, you know, well, you're drinking, you had a puff before you went to the church. Well, no, you had a puff at the church. That was good. That was good. I'm glad you did. I'm glad we did. I'm glad I did. It was the place for a toke, you know. And then token just is a part of my life. It's just, as I tell the doctor, it's a fine tuning. It's the just seeing things from a slightly different perspective that I like about it, you know. It's very mysterious. It almost could be, you know, a Boris Karloff movie or something. You know what I'm saying. Boris Karloff film. He just sits at a desk. He doesn't get up to greet you or anything, of course. And you're one of a stream of people. And I ask him, you know, is the federal government going to be interested in your studies? And he gives a big smile and says, I hope so. But I think he thanked me for, I don't know, making his work positive or something. And on the way out, there was another woman who led me in, and she was just radiant with a smile. And I said, you just, damn, you just seem so damn happy. So it's a mix of people. It's an interesting, and then just the waiting room. Oh, my God, the mix of people in the waiting room in there for pain treatment. It's very, very interesting. A multicultural mix of, you know, people of all kinds and backgrounds. Did I tell you about the woman? I don't know if I did, but I'm going to tell you again. In case. I was on, I shouldn't remember the name of the road, but anyway, just about to get on to Markham in my neighborhood. There's a traffic light. And there's a lady, and I can see walking up and down at the bus stop there, and she's wearing these really tight pants. You know these... I guess they're called jeggings or leggings. I don't know, but they're just, they look like, oh, aren't you supposed to be wearing something on top of those? That's the first reaction. I mean, they show your bum to, you know, quite often more than you really care to see. It depends, of course. Anyway, this is an older woman, and I just, oh, boy, the way she's dressed, she got some trouble, and she seemed a little anxious. And she came towards the car, and I rolled the window down, and she says, are you going towards Eglinton? And I wasn't. I was going up to Canadian Tire to get this wonderful burger fryer that I'm looking at right now. And I said, no, I'm going north. And then she went back to the bus stop and looked in the road, and then I saw her approaching another car. And I knew, what a jerk. Come on, it's nothing. It's down the hill. Of course. And I'm so glad I did. Just because it was the right thing to do. And she hops and down, I drop her at a plaza, and I could see her running to get her bus. She did have an appointment of something. Now, it seemed important earlier that I tell you that story. It changed everything. But it's one of these minuscule little daily decisions. But clearly the only right thing to do was to offer this lady. But, you know, there's all these little other forces. Like, oh, no, you're going to get some long story. She's going to be asking for money. This could be a mistake, you know. And you've got all these other, because of the times we live in, you know. And there was a time when people just picked up hitchhikers and you trusted people with long hair and you just... Everybody's a little bit nervous now, a little bit tense, a little bit uncomfortable. I think these times we're living in, you know, this year, 2017, these are dark times. And I hope it gets better down the road for our beloved children. Excuse me. Anyway, this wasn't what I was going to do. I was going to put this mic down and build a fire, but just leave, you know, ramble on talk through the process. Now I'm thinking that's not a good idea. So I think I'll just shut this baby off, build a fire, and I'll probably get back to you later on. So, happy listening. I hope it was. I hope this is, you enjoy it to some degree. I hope you can feel a little bit of how nice it is for me sitting right here, surrounded by trees, looking over at that very comfortable little box, little silver box, Sal. And, yeah, gonna build a fire. Fire going, as you can tell. I'm very glad to have that box of chopped up pieces that Chuck sawed up for me. And you just add to it. I've only got four logs, three and a half logs left. These are quarter rounds, right? But, I mean, that'll be plenty for tonight with this box of odds and ends. Those peanuts I was talking about, where, you know, they have just the right proportion of spicy things to peanuts. Well, it seems I ate all the peanuts, and I got a whole bunch of them left over. Just the spicy snacks, and you sort of want a peanut to go with it. And then I thought, I have peanuts in the van. I can just add some and get the balance back up, you know. The right proportions again, at least according to my present needs. And meanwhile, poured some pistachios into the bowl, and I love just, these are the spiced ones. Sweet chili pistachios. And you just break the seed. The act of breaking the seed is satisfying. Crack. And they're just heated just the right temperature because they're all just perfectly cracked open. And then you get the roasted one inside here. Ow! Ooh, tough. Oops, something to break. Full of flavor. And then you have the satisfaction of chucking the seeds onto the fire. But I see that my number 9 is just about gone. I'm going to have to go get some more. I don't know what I wanted to do. I wanted to tell you something. Maybe I wanted your company. Seems an odd thing. I seem to be the only solo camper I've seen so far. But I'll tell you, it's not bad. You may think, well then, why are you talking into your microphone? And I'm saying, I don't know. I'm getting a little bit high, and just nice to share this time with you, that's all. Christ. You know, is there something wrong with that? Depends. All right, anyway, I'm getting these weird humming things and interference and stuff going on, so I'm just going to go back to doing what I was doing, just sitting here. What is that, huh? Is it my phone ringing, or what the fuck? All right, anyway, off. Bye. For now. Oh yeah, I felt the need to share this one with you. The idea, your first day of class or early in your course, of offering a $25 Canadian Tire gift certificate card for whichever student could write the best argument not convincing me of why I should be doing regular exercise. And, you know, you think, I bet you there would be some students who would want that $25 card. You don't pay students for doing this. No, this is just it's a game, some incentive. It's a side thing, nothing to do with your marks or grades or anything. Side bet. But, of course, the college would just be, you know, up in the air. Not up in the air. Up in, what's the expression? Up in arms, of course. About, what the fuck are you doing? Paying students to write an essay? And, of course, personal interest here, too. My God, you want to live longer? You want to know how? You can motivate yourself to doing regular exercise? Listen, now there's a challenge to the Dixon James listeners. Can't do it to my students. But if any, $25, you know, I got 50s, but I don't think it's worth 50. Get a Canadian Tire card for whoever sends me the best suggestion that will actually lead to motivating me. Okay, here's the catch, right? It actually has to get me up off my ass to make daily exercise a regular part of my life. I don't seem capable of that. I find any reason not to, especially when I'm in a place like this. But I know it's important for my health. So maybe I should rephrase the question. I need good advice so that I can grow healthier than I am now, or at least hold off the decay, you know, or slow it down. Okay, settle for at least slow it down. But I think there might be, it may be be necessary to, well, now I forget what I was going to say because you interrupted me. Maybe necessary. Do I have an intervention? Oh, no. Not going there. No. God, I have not even a clue, you know, what I was going on about. And so there's your first advice. Okay, dude, give up the weed. Yeah. Oh, no. Get a doctor saying it's 2 ounces, 2 grams a day enough. It could be a little more thorough. But, you know, it's funny. There's a lot of places I think could do with my help. I feel I have lots of advice to give to people on how to improve things. Now, if it came down to specifics, okay, exactly how do we go about changing that person's attitude? Ooh, that might be a little harder. No, I had something I was really chasing and having fun. Oh, yes. Yeah, the Canadian Tire card for Dixon James listeners. Somebody who can help me on the road to changing my lifestyle. I don't know if that's it. Or if I even want to. Maybe that's a joke. You're saying, who the fuck, you know? Why would we waste time? You're not going to take anybody's advice anyway. All right. Well, maybe come back. Maybe refine that question for me. I don't seem capable of doing it. But I thought it, I had it down to, I want to be a little healthier. I want to live a slightly healthier lifestyle, but I lack self-discipline. So I need somebody who can maybe teach me that trick. Like, how can I make myself do the things that I know will be good for me? How can I bring about that change? That's what we're looking for, okay? Now, if you don't understand that part, then forget it. You're not in the contest. The things I have to do. Anyway, I think we made our point there. I think we'll hang up and call you back later. I don't do these live things. God, I don't think I would enjoy that to actually have a live chance of me sitting here. No, I don't want you to come. I want this to be one way. Hey, I'm doing the talking here, buddy. It seems an important thing for me to do. I do clearly recall as a kid that little scared part about getting older and running out of words. Like you'd use up all your words too soon and you wouldn't have any left. Ooh. That may explain a lot. I don't know. But there, you know, there was that weirdness. And then those dreams. The one recurring dream. And by recurring, It might have only been a couple of dreams. Anyway, that is neither here nor there. Yeah, this little clip is just to let you know that everything is not perfect in my world. In case sometimes I try to make it sound that way. The steak I'm eating tonight, it's just not as tasty as the short ribs I had the night before. Now, those were exceptional. And the lesson is, don't buy thin steaks. You know, if you're going to go steak, get a good steak. These, you know, it was red meat. It was fun to cook, but there's no juice. There's no big, thick sander to bite into. So, not happy about that. I heated up some of the stir fry pasta I made for the family. Tuesday, maybe. It's disgusting. It's one of the worst things I've made. I mean, the family ate it, but nobody went for seconds. I was certainly given the rest of it to take camping with me, which was my plan, but God, I didn't follow a recipe or anything, and I didn't know whether it needed a sauce to it, more, you know, water and bouillon or something, or more wine, or, here's a mistake I made. I think I added some tomato sauce to it, and it thickened it up, but I don't know, the whole thing. But anyway, it sucks. It's awful. I'm even reheating it. It's disgusting. So I'm not going to go much further with that. I'll just enjoy the red wine instead. So, yes, there you go. See, some things are more enjoyable than others. Some things are better than others. We can't expect to go through life measuring all things the same, oh my God, or not being able to measure at all, like a computer or AI. Like, can you really get feeling? Can you really feel guilt and remorse? I don't think so. It's a long way to go for artificial intelligence, I'm saying. I mean, you can get it to fake, you know, if it would pick up the clues and it could pretend to simulate, you know, apology and groveling if necessary, but internally just be on and off switches. All right, back to my mediocre piece of steak. And you know, I mean, I know the irony here. Hey, you fuckhead. You got a piece of steak and somebody else is just on the verge of death for not having any nourishment, any food. Somebody else is lost their home and the whole world around you is full of pain and suffering and misery. And you're complaining. Well, hey, back off, asshole. I wasn't complaining. I was just making a comment, an observation. All right, let's be very clear about that. Very clear about that. I know enough about third world whining. First world whining, sorry. To not get drawn into that trap. Anyway, I'll finish it off. The question arose, if you were sitting by a fire in Bhutan or, you know, foot of the Himalayas or some exotic place, would it be any better? And the immediate answer is no, but then you have to kind of maybe explain your no or, you know, justify it. It shouldn't be. I mean, if you're here now, which is the only place you can be, you've got to claim it. Well, no, I take that back. I mean, you're going to be sitting in the waiting room in a hospital That's not a place you want to be. I was thinking I would have just 5 years of life left. And the feeling to that was, well, I'm making good use of it now. You know, I mean, let's say I'm already into year one of that. What I'm doing is a good thing. Camping with the road trek, sitting by a fire, sharing some with you. This is not a bad way to spend the time. So the idea, would this be better? It's really, you're asking yourself, do I need to be somewhere else other than where I am? And you'd like to think the answer is always going to be, well, no, I can't. I'm so naive sometimes, you know. Things go very smoothly for me in life. I'm very lucky, and I believe I have luck, that I often just assume the best. Yeah, you know, it's a silly game, because I could say, yeah, I'd like to be here, but maybe at a campsite without a noisy extended Korean family. Maybe, you know, a quieter spot. Maybe a view actually overlooking the water. Yeah, some things can be better. Ridiculous to think they couldn't be. But are you satisfied? That's what it comes down to. Are you okay where you are? I feel I am right now. It's a bit messy. I've got two boxes. One's empty, one had wood, another one has newspapers. Three logs, two chairs out, the book, my black bag, a bag of potato chips, the cup of wine, my poker stick. So it's quite a bit of stuff around me. The road trek's in a safe distance. Propane is shut off for the night. Picnic table is bare, although I have a mat out. It's so much nicer sitting at the mat. It was one of those beach mats, sort of like a simulated bamboo that just, or woven thing, it folds over and you can make them quite small. Carry them in your hand like a purse and then open it up. So ideal for sitting at the beach. And I was sitting in the garage and I went, ooh, I think the road trek needs this one. Usually people just put a tablecloth, but I actually like this better. I mean, there's an awful lot of crazy thinking that goes on, and you just can't share all of it. Nor would any audience want to hear all of it. I don't know what that word means. Sounds like habozi. All right. Signing off again. Back to tending my fire. Sorry for that needless interruption. Thought I had something important, but you know how these things are. Some get away. There's a topic I'm going to bring up now that I can't escape. And I suppose it's selfish of me to share it with you, but it's not one I can think about alone. Basically, simply, I'm just trying to understand the motivation of the people who strap bombs to their bodies and blow themselves up in a marketplace, or, you know, drive a truck up on the sidewalk to mow down people, or fly planes into the World Trade Center, hack at people with knives, swords. I don't understand that mindset. I don't understand the rationale. I was reflecting last night that I've never faced evil in my life. I had a real scare once, but that was just like a hallucination. But I actually faced, you know, I was thinking of Ted Bundy today, because I had my leg brace on. Well, that's not going to fool anybody. Nobody's going to help a limping guy. It's because he had a fake broken arm that it literally disarmed people, and they were sure to help him. And of course, he immediately had them in his grips and killed them. Well, there is evil around. I'm inclined, I know it's a weird thing to say, but I'm inclined to feel some sympathy for, oh dear, how can I say this, child rapists. And it's not the act that's forgivable, but the poor people who are programmed with those needs to fill. I mean, we are pre-programmed in so many ways, and some of us can fight our urges, suppress our urges. And some can't. And again, it's the randomness of the DNA. It's the mixtures that make us. So there will be people who inflict cruelty. But back just to the suicide bombers, like, the one school of thought is, well, this is just to incite a war, to make everybody so angry that the world will erupt in a war, and maybe these people are convinced that their side will win, and therefore it's worth having this war. That's one possibility. The other is just it's just a hatred, a blind hatred for. But that doesn't explain going into a market and killing other Muslims, you know? What is it? What is it? What is it? And sometimes I almost feel like, well, the truth, the real reasons behind, you know, why we're going through these things are known, but that it's not being shared with us. It's like 1984, you got to control that flow of information. You know, is it that there really are so many injustices and this is the only way to make parts of the world wake up? But there seems to be so much anger and hatred, like destroying World Heritage sites out of spite. This guy, you cannot let ignorance rule. And that's the frightening part, the part that, you know, and there are alarmists maybe, but people who worry about the end of certain kinds of free thought. And, you know, I it's so easy to imagine what it really would be like to live in a police state, and I'm so blessed to have had my whole life with the incredible degree of freedom that I've had. Now, I could say I've had a grandfather and a father who were involved in wars, but I've been spared. Anyway, there is, I don't have an answer, and if anybody does, or maybe it's something I should bring up at the next men's group. I think that's it. I need other opinions, and that's the perfect forum for it. Thank you. See, sometimes when I talk, it's just to help me move ahead a little bit, come up with answers. That's the therapeutic part of this podcast, and it's the one I encourage others to take on. Open up, be yourself, let your guard down. People want to know who you are. We want to know who we are as individuals. Anyway, I'm feeling a little bit sorry for the people who just arrived late tonight and still setting up, you know, fold-down trailers. I know Dave and Isabel have probably got very, very good at it and just done in a matter of short time. But I don't mind saying that's... I'm glad that's a stage I skipped and just jumped from tent to this vehicle. This home, I'm thinking of it more as a home. Anyway, that's just one more thing that comes along in the Dixon James podcast. You have no idea, I have no idea. But stuff comes right at you. Sound of the wind blowing through those trees. Boy, they're really moving. That looks like it's the kind of look you get just before a rainstorm. I don't think it will. And of course, I'm okay, but just the evening by the lake. Very glad I picked this place. Very, very glad for those little excursions today. This has been good, and I've already got two in mind. Charbot Lake, right near the home of yours truly, Mr. Francis Wooby, who I would love to see. So I'm planning on driving up there for a night. It's not a hard hike, and then maybe we'll straight across to the one near Merrickville or near Kempville. It's on the Rideau River, I guess. Yeah, Rideau River campground. So I would have done, yeah. And then people could visit me there. That seems a good plan this fall. Yep. All right, there you go. You heard it here first. Scabber Dude enjoying his local, closer to home excursions. Yeah, good morning. It's Saturday. Wait a minute. Did my checkout say Sunday? No. Anyway, 2 p.m. checkout, and it's not quite noon. Saturday, yeah, because I'm going to the Only after this to meet John and Brent. Sometimes I ask myself, or question this, I say, dude, if you're really having such a good time, you know, posting those pictures on Twitter of contentment, then why are you talking to your podcast listeners? And the reason is, quite simply, because I enjoy doing this. This is part of the fun. This is part of my satisfaction. Just one of the things that I like doing. You know, it's like... it's a false battle I've put up. It's like people... when you see too many pictures on Facebook of people having a happy time, and you think right away, no, if you're really happy, you wouldn't be posting all those pictures on Facebook. Especially the ones of your face up close, you know? It's just kind of a weird thing. But no, this is different. This is part of the now. The now, I'm sitting in a comfortable chair with my three-legged footstool, enjoying the dark stuff. I've just finished my cereal, done my cleanup, put everything away. All that remains to be done, basically, is unplug the road truck, and I'm off. And I'm going to leave a little early. I mean, I wasn't planning on leaving around noon, but maybe a little later now. And I'm going to drive back to the St. George's Anglican Church that I talked about yesterday. It's so beautiful, and now that I know there's a road down there. And on my way to the washroom, one of the cleaners who, you know, is contracted out, just comes in here, hoses them down and puts in disinfectant. And he said, listen, if you're going there, you've got to carry on down the road past a single-lane iron bridge and visit this fabulous golf course and just take a look. It's old school. So that may be part of my journey as well. But I am very much intrigued by this little church. And it's funny, I think of people like John Meadows, if he hasn't already seen it. I will encourage him tonight to make a special trip, even a day trip. It's got just things that are neat and a very neat history, right? It was built, here I'll read out to you. The 1877 Sebald Memorial St. George's Anglican Church and its 1939 Churchyard Cemetery abut the western edge of Sebald Point Provincial Park. As a lakeside destination on the Heritage Walking Tour, it is open to the public by donation on most days from spring until autumn. Okay. In 1866, this is before we were a country, Mrs. Susan Main Sebald, I'm pronouncing it Sebald, I don't know, was buried in what is now the cast iron fence Sebald plot. In 1876, her sons, Captain Thomas, Dr. Francis, and Hugh, maybe Hugh was a ne'er-do-well, commissioned Gavelier and Thompson Architects to design neo-Gothic-style stone church in her memory. St. George houses the hand-painted Simcoe altar window, designed by Mrs. Sebald's friend, the artist and designer Elizabeth Simcoe, wife of General John Graves Simcoe, the first Lieutenant Governor of Upper Canada, and made in 1844 by her artisan daughters in England. Canadian and British historians believe it to be the oldest church window of its type in Canada. Reverend George Everest, a master wood carver and husband of organist Susan Martyr Sebald, the granddaughter of Mrs. Susan Main Sebald, carved the majestic 1901 Everest altar that is seated beneath the Simcoe altar window. In 1839, the 1839 Churchyard Cemetery contains the graves of many noteworthy Canadians, including the writers Stephen Leacock and Mazel de la Roche, editor Major Sir Francis Paget Hett, architect Alfred Chapman, and pioneering families including the Bouchier, Comer, Lee, Mossington, Sebald. So, there we go. Oh, was it worth telling you all that? I don't know. Were you even listening? Speaking of listening and reading, I'm reading about Morrissey. Now, I don't really know anything about Morrissey, and then he mentioned, you know, he is of the Smiths. And I know I have good friends, Jeff and Linda, who love the Smiths, and I'm thinking, oh, this is good. From what I read already, I like him. He had a very, you know, a nasty childhood. And I just have a sense, yeah, okay, here's somebody I can appreciate. I mean, I read about Elvis Costello and just simply didn't like him. And a lot of people you don't like in pop music. But this fellow seems worth exploring a little more. So I thought, this is a perfect lead, you know, between the book and the music. It's this connection I've been harping on about for so long. It's a wonderful thing as one leads to the other and everything's sort of interconnected. So I will go to Deja Vu and look up the Smiths and see what they've got. Okay. Anyway, I don't think I'll read any passages out necessarily, but continues to be a well worthwhile book. All right. I think I'm going to stop right there and journey on in just a little while. Still got a little packing up to do, but everything is in order. I guess a couple of other things. The dishes I'm using, yellow and blue, very thick, hard, kind of a special plastic-type plates. They were both used by my sons for camping, and they've got their initials on, KB and DB. underneath them. And it just thrills me no end that I still have them. I mean, I bought them to start with. And that I've repossessed them. And this is part of my regular camping gear, my road trek camping gear. I'm very happy to have them. As well as the old spoons. You know, my red spoon from Honest Ed's, which I bought in 1975. And stuff like that. And the simple system I've got, like a low, you know, one of those boxes that closes easily. I forget what they're called. You buy them in Canadian Tire or wherever. That's for the food. And on top of that, I have an old tray that I brought from the house. And the tray is what I use to carry things back and forth. And everything, you just develop a system where things go. And it's good to be orderly. And it's good to follow simple little procedures that you've developed yourself that work. And each one you sort of improve on a little bit. You know? I mean, these are the simple little pleasures. When you're reducing life to more of a simple function, that's very satisfying. All right, you get that or you don't.
Thank you.